Man, I am so excited to be with you guys today. Welcome to Alive Family Church. For any of you guys joining us maybe for the first time, my name's Eric, and I am so excited to share God's Word with you today. For those of you guys know, we've been in a series. This is week three of a series we titled, You Ask For It. And what we're doing is we're taking a journey each week into the Bible, into the Scriptures, and we're answering questions that you guys asked. About a month ago, we started fielding just random questions about God and the Bible, and we've been doing our best to answer as many of those as possible, or at least zone in and target the ones that were asked the most. And so we've had a lot of fun already this month in the series, haven't we? And we've covered some good ground in case you haven't been with us yet for the first 2 weeks. Week one, we talked about the woman question. I spoke a message just called the woman question. And basically, a lot of the controversy of like, can women be in ministry? Are you allowed to have a woman pastor? What about those controversial verses that say they should be silent? All of that. And so if you missed that message, really precedent setting, really cultural setting here for us at Alive as we are co-husband wife lead team as far as lead pastors go. And so I'd encourage you guys to go back, listen to that or watch that online on YouTube or the podcast. Last week, Pastor Erica did a phenomenal job answering a lot of our questions about how do we hear from God, right? Like, how do we know when it's God or us or the pizza we ate on Friday night, right? Or like how do we make sense of it? What are the primary ways that God speaks to us and reveals himself to us? And so if you missed that one, I know that will be a blessing to you guys as well. But today we're going to continue in this series, and I'm going to tackle the topic of baptism today because we got quite a few questions. And the title of my message is actually this: What's the deal with baptisms? All right, so now, some of you guys might have seen what I did there. You notice there, I said, what's the deal with baptisms, S, plural, because as we're going to see after our time together, there are actually multiple kinds of baptisms that we can experience as believers in Christ that we see through Scripture in the Bible. Many different kinds of questions came in about water baptism or baptisms and all that kind of stuff, and so we're going to do our best to answer a lot of these. Some of the common questions, maybe you have some of these. Maybe you ask some of these, or maybe you have friends that are asking you some of these about what's the deal with baptism. And so some of the questions we might get off on is it a requirement? Do you have to be baptized to be saved or go to heaven? What happens if you never get baptized, right? Why should I get baptized, right? Like, what's the deal with that? Why would I even want to do that? Are there certain kind of words or rituals that you have to do it a certain way for it to be like legit or count? What about if I got baptized as an infant or a baby? Does that count? Are there multiple kinds of different baptisms, or are there just one in the Bible? We're going to do our best. I'm going to do my best in the short amount of time I have with you guys today to answer all those and maybe some more to give us a better understanding of what this is. And, you know, for those of you guys who might be like, oh, man, I've already been water baptized. I've already heard this before. And you're going to maybe be tempted to zone out or check out on me this morning. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you this morning. I believe this morning is way more than just a refresher on this topic and answering some people's questions. I believe that baptism and the baptisms that we're going to talk about today is an amazing and incredible invitation for greater intimacy in our own personal walk with the Lord. No matter where you've been, no matter if you've done some of this stuff or not that we're going to talk about, God is always concerned about our heart, and it's an invitation, not a religion, not a ritual. Right, we've been saying break down all of our man-made religion and all of our tradition, and we're gonna want God's way's better. Right, it always is, and it always will be. God, show us what you want to show us through what you instituted in your Word called baptism. And so, I want to encourage you guys to lean in, and we're gonna have a lot of fun today too. You guys ready for it? Awesome. Let's pray, prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from God's Word today, and then we'll jump right in. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're just thankful that we get to be in your house today. And be in your presence, Lord. There's nothing like it. And Father God, we thank you for the Word of God as we look to your Word today. We know it's the truth. We know we have answers there. It brings us hope. It brings us help. It brings us encouragement. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It leads us and it guides us to all the truth in this world, Father God. And so, Lord, we esteem your Word today. We lean into it today. And Lord God, in a topic like this, Lord, I pray that you would do something fresh and do something new in every single heart here, both in person and tuning in online. Father, we love you. We praise you. And we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody agreed, said, amen. All right, so first things first, as we're talking about this topic, a lot of confusion on this topic often comes from the misunderstanding of what we're referencing when we say the word baptism, all right? Go with me. Many people, I think the majority of people, right? When you hear the word baptism, you're automatically thinking about water baptism, right? And let's just be honest, like oftentimes that's the first thing that sometimes comes to our mind when we hear the word baptism. Baptism doesn't necessarily refer to the moment you're sprinkled or dunked in water. And it actually has like nothing to do with the water whatsoever. The word baptize or baptism in the Greek, which is in the New Testament, is the Greek word baptizo. And what that means is to be immersed in. It's immersion or saturation in something. So to be baptized into something is to saturate it. Saturday morning in the Giso households lately has been Big Breakfast Saturday. And I've been always making the waffles. I've been the waffle guy. And I've learned that my different children and even my wife like different amounts of syrup on their waffles. Some just like a little bit, whatever. I like to baptize my waffles in maple syrup. That means they are fully submerged, no dry corners on this piece of cake. You understand? How many love a good amount of syrup? Come on. It's sugar, right? Buddy the Elf, me and him, our diets match, all right? So we like that. Everybody has a different preference on that, but baptism literally means to immerse or to saturate, right? And so it's important that when we look to the Bible, and we see that there's actually many different types of baptizos or baptisms or things that we can be saturated or immersed in that God leads us and shows us in his word. Now, sometimes a lot of people will wall up right here. They'll say, nah, no, there's only one baptism. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 6. Let's go there and see what he said. It says in this passage of scripture, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So a lot of us are like, see it there for yourself, right? Paul said one baptism, not many baptisms. So Pastor, why, we can just go home today and just think that we're only talking about the water baptism and we're good, right? We'll sort all this out in a few minutes as we look at the whole context and the counsel of God's word. But I want to take you over to another passage of scripture. Go on over, and if you're taking your notes, we'll have it for the screens as well, to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. In this passage of scripture, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith of God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, see an S there? Doctrine of baptisms, the of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. So did you catch that in verse 2? It's a doctrine of baptisms. So, simplifying or signifying that there might be multiple baptisms, that multiple immersions, multiple saturations that you and I can receive in our spiritual walk as a believer in Jesus, not necessarily. And neither of those two examples that we just read talk anything about water. They have no mention of water at all. So what do we do with this, right? Way to just lay it out there up front, Pastor, like... one or many? Like, which one is it, right? And we're gonna talk the rest of the time, and we're gonna settle that. But here's a couple things I wanted. I said it first in week one. I want to say it again. The Bible does not contradict itself. We have to understand that, right? Like we believe here at Alive that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Inerrant means no errors. Infallible means no mistake, and it can't be wrong. If we can't agree on that, then let's just go home, right? Because like, what's truth? Truth is whatever you feel. But there has to be truth. There has to be a plumb line of truth. All of this that we're in, like, did that just happen? Like, who's the creator? There has to be truth. Otherwise, we're wasting air every Sunday morning. There has to be a real God. And if he was who he says he was, then we have to be able to believe his word. And if we can believe his word will help us and answer all these questions we have. It's not like personal opinion or the pastor, what he's feeling. It's like, no, what does God's word have to say, right? So again, the other thing that we got to be careful with is we cannot make doctrine out of one verse in the Bible alone, all right? So this is just good Bible interpretation, right? We see in 2 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. What does this mean? If we're going to make doctrine, what is doctrine? It's a strong belief. It's a tenet of faith in the church. If you're going to have a doctrine of one baptism or many baptisms or a certain kind of baptisms, you're going to need at least two to three supporting scriptures in the Bible to support that doctrine. But a lot of times, we'll take one verse out of context and make it say whatever we want it to say. And that is, my friends, is the reason why we have a bajillion different Christian denominations in our world today. because of disagreements over one verse or two verses or one word, one Greek word or an S or no S and all that stuff. And God's laughing at us like, man, you all need to just get your act together and get along, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Right? And so are you guys tracking with me so far? I just wanted to make sure I went off on that rabbit trail so we know where we're going. So as we move throughout the Bible, the important question for us to settle this whole one versus multiple baptisms argument is there scriptural evidence that shows that there are multiple baptisms available to believers? And here's a little hint. It's an open book test today. How many of you guys loved open book tests? I loved open book. The answer is yes, and we're going to see that there's actually scriptural precedent, scriptural evidence that there are multiple different baptisms. Again, not water, like having to get baptized multiple times in water. I'm not talking about that. We're going to set that straight in a second. I'm talking about immersions or saturations and things that God wants us to have. There are multiple ones and experiences that God has for us. And again, we're not talking about religious acts to make us feel more holy or righteous or better Christian than somebody else, or better person than somebody that doesn't go to church. We're not talking about this at all. We're talking about better invitations, deeper invitations for intimacy, for relationship, for power, and for closeness with a real and living God that loves every single one of us and wants a personal, intimate, authentic relationship with us. Amen? These baptisms get so labelized as just something we do to be religious and be church Christians, and we lose the whole meaning, I believe, and the whole heart behind what the Father did in the first place of why he wants us to do this. Amen? And so for the remainder of our time, we're going to go into these three different baptisms that we see throughout Scripture. I'm going to just give you guys some notes. Again, I'm going to teach a lot today. Normally, I like to preach, but I'm going to teach today. And so if you got your notes, pull it out. If you don't, you can open up a note on your phone or whatnot. We're going to go through it. I will show stuff on the screens for you. But we got a lot of ground to cover, all right? So you guys ready? Y'all with me? All right. The first baptism, or the first immersion that we're all invited to experience, is number one, the baptism into the body of Christ. Everyone say body of Christ. That is the first one, and we could say it another way, salvation. The first experience that we can experience where we're immersed in something is salvation. And many of us have probably never thought of salvation as a baptism, all right? But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, Paul says, "For by one spirit we were all baptized, baptizo, into one body." So when you and I give our life to Jesus, we don't just join Jesus. Guess what? We join the whole family. Amen? Right? The family of God, or the body, we like to call here the body of Christ, right? It's not referring to a person's physical body, not one person's physical body that we're baptized, but a family of God. And man, what a great family it is. Amen? I don't know who you are, where you're from. Maybe you came from a bad family of origin. You have a jacked up past. Family means not good things to you. When you receive Jesus, no matter how jacked up your earthly past or family is, you're put into a family that is amazing, that is encouraging, that is uplifting, and that is edifying and wants the best for you. Amen? That is good news. It's a good family to be a part of. So when you and I get saved, we get baptizoed or immersed into the family of God. Check out another passage of scripture that we see in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, Paul says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized or baptizoed into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ." It's that same Greek word there again that Paul's using. Paul is saying that when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we're immersed into him. And what that means is we're baptized or immersed or submerged into the body or the family of God. We are the children. God is the Father. Amen? And there's structure and there's order in this. Guys, this is foundational. This is the main baptism. We always focus on water baptism so much. This is the most important one. Don't miss this baptism. This is salvation. This is saying, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was wayward, but God has made my path straight. My marriage was jacked up, but now my God can work and restore it. Come on. My finances are in shambles, and now I'm blessed to be a blessing. Come on. This is the baptism that we need to be on. Amen? And so many people miss this one. Or we fall into the trap that I see a lot of Christians, they only focus on this one, and they're like, I'm good. I'm going to heaven for eternity. I got Jesus. I've been in the Bible. I got my fire insurance. Peace. I don't care about you. I ain't burning. Right? It's like, okay, is there more to that? And I think the mistake that we all make is salvation's more than just the end game. It's the beginning journey, right? Right? This is foundational, and it's part of our mission here at Alive. Like, our mission is we help and we exist to help people know God personally. That's the first arm of our mission, a personal, real, authentic relationship with a God who's real, who loves you. Amen? That's what it's all about, being baptized into the body of Christ. And if you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never prayed a prayer to invite him into your life, maybe you believe in an idea or thought of a God, but you never had a marked moment in your life where you've prayed a prayer to receive Jesus, you will have an opportunity to do that in the end of our time here in just a few moments. And we'll lead you through it. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's just a heart confession of faith. Amen? But don't miss this one. And again, there's no mention of water here in any of these scriptures, right? And so let's not just get our fire insurance and coast for the rest of it. Let's move on to the deeper things of God. If salvation's the entry point, not the end point, right? How many of you guys know God's got so much more than you, more for you if you walk through the scriptures and if you walk in your relationship with him, right? And I'm telling you what, I'm so glad I didn't stop at this baptism. This is good. I mean, this is awesome. Like, eternity in heaven, like being down with Jesus in the family of God, that's good. But God is a God of more, amen? And he's got more for us today. And so let's go on to the second baptism, which I'm going to spend the most of the time on because, again, there's a lot of confusion about it. And that is number two, baptism in water. Everybody say water baptism. That's another way we talk about it. Baptism in water or water baptism. And I believe this is the baptism that most people are familiar with. This is the baptism that most people feel like they identify with or they've experienced themselves. It's also the baptism that, again, I think our minds automatically go to when we hear the word baptism mentioned at any time, right? And although a lot of people think this is the only one, as we're going to see and as we're going to continue to see throughout our talk this morning, this isn't the only baptism. This is one of three scriptural references of baptism that we see. This baptism is separate from salvation. So it's separate from the one we just talked about, which is the baptism in the body of Christ or salvation, right? And so this helps us answer that question. If you ask this question or you know somebody who asked this question, is water baptism required? Like, do I have to be water baptized to be saved? The answer is no. Do I need to be water baptized to be a Christian? The answer is no. Now, I believe with all my heart that you should, and I'll make that case a little bit stronger as we move forward, but why do salvation and water baptism have to be separate? Well, because if they're put together and the requirements together, it violates other parts of Scripture, where Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9 and 8, I don't have it for the screens, where Paul says, you are saved by grace through faith, not of any kind of work. So here's the deal. Here's a great reminder in your life. If you have to add anything to your life in order to earn salvation, that's called works. And it removes what Jesus did for us on the cross. You don't have to pray more. You don't have to give more. You don't have to fast more. You can't attend church more to get salvation. Jesus paid it all, my friends. Amen? We simply receive the free gift of salvation. That is good news. So what is water baptism? Let's define it then. Like, what's going on in this symbolic act of water baptism? A couple things here about water baptism. It is, like what I like to say in the basic terms, it's going public with your faith in Jesus. Water baptism is going public with your decision to follow Jesus or being public with your decision to be a Christ follower, right? Another way we like to say it is water baptism is an outward expression of an inward work or an inward immersion that's happening in our life, right? We're receiving Jesus into our life. We've been baptized into his body by professing him as Lord of our life, and now we are relating with that. We're identifying his death, burial, and resurrection, and there's something going on the inside of us, a new creation, and we're letting the outside world know about it through a symbolic act called water baptism. It is a symbolic act. The act of baptism doesn't save you, all right? The water doesn't save you. It's where a believer in Christ associates with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives, right? When you go down under the water, when you get water baptized, it's symbolic of your old life, your sin, all of your junk, dying and being buried, crucified with Christ and being buried with Christ. And when you come up out of the water, it's symbolic of when Jesus rose on the third, victorious, now in the newness and freshness of life. It's a symbolic act, all right? Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 tell us this. It says, or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so that water, that body of water, whether it's a tank, whether it's a lake, whether it's a pool, whether it's a puddle, whatever it is, it symbolizes a watery grave. It symbolizes a tomb that we go into, just like Jesus was buried in a tomb. And it symbolizes us coming up out of that in newness and freshness of life, just like Jesus does. And he gives us that freshness of life. That sounds a lot like 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite scriptures, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." There's a newness and a freshness when we go public with our faith through water baptism. And you guys have heard this analogy before, but if not, if this is a new topic for you, I think this really helps you. Water baptism is like the wedding ring to your faith with Jesus. I love the wedding ring analogy, right? I love the analogy when it comes to water baptism in our relationship with God. It's the reason, like marriage, when it comes to marriage, the wedding and the wedding ring, it's the reason why we do it. We signify and symbolize our commitment, right? How many of you guys know this ring that I'm wearing on my ring finger right now does not marry me to my wife, Erica? It's a symbol that represents what? My commitment to be with her for life, right? But it doesn't actually marry me. When we got married, we went before God and a group of people, and according to God's word, and that was marriage, right? And that was blessed before God. The wedding ring is just a symbol, right? It's just a symbol that, hey, Lord, I just want to let you know, I'm taken, all right? She's taken, right? We're off the market, right? We're committed. We're committed for life, right? And a lot of us understand this, but go with me for a second, all right? What if I was like, hey, babe, man, I love you so, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, all right? I am committed, but you know what? Let's not do a wedding. And you know what? Like, I don't want anybody else to know. And you know what? I'm actually not going to wear a wedding ring at all because I don't want anybody to know. You guys are all laughing. How many of you guys know there might be a baptism that night, but it would be the one where Erica left me under the water and didn't let me back up? Just joking. Kind of, not really. Right? She'd be like, boy, get out of here. Commit. Put a ring on it, right? If you love her, if you're committed, if you're all in, put a ring on it, right? Jesus is the same way. He's like, if you love me, if you serve me, if you believe in me, put a ring on it. Right? Put your faith where your heart is, right? Like, let's prove it. It's a symbol. It doesn't save you. Water baptism does not save you. This ring does not marry me to Erica. It shows I am married. Water baptism shows I am a Christian. I am a Christ follower. I relate with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Am I perfect? No. Does water baptism make you perfect? No. And will you be perfect after you get water baptized? Heck no. But it symbolizes to yourself, to your family, to your friends, to the world around you that something's different about that person because of what happened on the inside by receiving Jesus. Amen? And so, why should we be water baptized? Some of you guys are like, cool, I get it. I get the symbolism. I've heard it a million times. But why? Why should I be water baptized? That's a really good question. It's an important question that I believe every person has to settle for themselves. You don't do this because a pastor tells you to do it or pressures you to do it or a family member wants you to do it. You do this because you see it in Scripture and you believe in Jesus and you believe it's the thing that he wants you to do. It's a next step in your faith, all right? And so, a couple things. Because like, if it's not required for salvation, and it's not required to be a Christian, then why get wet? Why mess up your hair and makeup in church in front of a bunch of people you don't know? Why, right? Why look silly? Let's be honest, right? I think a lot of us have reservations about it because of those things just simply right there. Why would we want to do this? I got two really strong reasons from Scripture. The first one is this, number one, Jesus told us to. Okay, I'm going to try to say that nicely. The Lord said, smile when you say that. Just do it! Because Jesus told us to, right? Jesus set an example of water baptism. I'm not going to go here for time's sake, but in Matthew 3:16, the very first thing that Jesus did in his earthly ministry was be water baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. You guys are very familiar, many of us are familiar with that scene. The interesting thing, very first thing, the very last thing that Jesus said in his ministry was before he ascended to heaven, was to be baptized. And we see this in Matthew chapter 28. It's also known as the Great Commission. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20. Jesus said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19 is key. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Guess what? baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Command, or commission, or commandment. Jesus commanded for believers to be water baptized, right? I've come to the place where if Jesus wants me to do it, I'll do it. Honestly, he has changed my life radically. If you know anything about me and my family's life, Jesus has changed our family tree radically. If Jesus wants me to jump through a hoop and go out on 23 and wave like a chicken, I will do it. Now, praise God, he's not going to make me do that, right? But I'm just saying, I'm committed. If he wants me to wear a ring and says, Jesus, I'll wear a ring, right? If he says, be water baptized, go public with it, we should go public with it. But we play around, I don't need to, I don't want to, I did it when I was younger. You know, we like the cool, comfortable, we like our Christianity comfortable. And Jesus never called us to comfortable Christianity, ever. That's why I think he wants us to do it. Because it's a symbol. It's awkward. Why do I have to go in a body of water and come out and everybody celebrate? That's weird. That's different, right? Exactly. It's set apart. It's holy. It's a holy moment, right? And I personally had to come to this revelation that, man, why did I get water baptized? Well, I knew that I didn't have to get water baptized to be saved, and I knew that I was already Christian. I'd already been following the Lord for a few months before I got water baptized, so it wasn't that, but I came to the revelation personally that I can be saved and not be water baptized, but I cannot be obedient to Jesus' command. And I was like, oh, shoot. You ever like when anybody steps on your toes in a good way? Jesus got right up in my grill and said, you gonna be obedient to me or not? Are you for real or are you just faking it? Are you playing the halfsie, in and out, but I'm not going all in? That's intense, right? And that's why on April 20th, 2005, I stepped down into the waters of the pool at Northwood University, where I was attending college at the time, and I was baptized by James Demude, who was my campus pastor and college pastor and mentor in that season. And I went public with my faith through water baptism. I think you guys see that there. Check it out. Northwood University, Abercrombie, swim shorts. Let's go. Jesus, right? You can take that away. Please. Try not to remember that. No, I do. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that day. I went public with my faith, and it meant so much to me, and it meant so much to those that were witnessing. A bunch of people that maybe, some of the people that I invited were some of my teammates. They were at the pool. People saw this dude going public with his faith. It was a ripple effect in the world around me, my sphere of influence. And it meant the most to me. It solidified my faith that I am a believer in Jesus. And no one's taking this away from me, right? And I believed, and I was baptized. Now, show of hands here, just curious. How many of you guys have been water baptized before? If you've been water baptized, show a hand. Okay, good number. How many of you guys have not been water baptized? Okay, yeah, fair number. How many of you guys would say, well, I was only water baptized as a baby? Would anybody fall in that category there? Because that was me for a long time. Okay, awesome. We're going to talk about that in a second. Sweet. How many of you guys like doing cannonballs in pool? Let me see a show of hands. Sorry, I'm just making sure. Yeah, a lot of hands and feet, right? Yeah, it's almost summer. Praise God. Just want to make sure you're awake, all right? You guys doing good? Getting fun in church, amen? The second reason why I believe we can be water baptized is we see scriptural precedent as a new believer's next step. What does that mean? That means we see it in Scripture. Many places in the Bible, after somebody put their faith and trust in Jesus, immediately their next step was to get water baptized. As I was studying this week, you can find eight clear-cut, eight, not one, not two or three to make a doctrine of it, eight clear verses where people put their faith in Jesus and immediately after that in Scripture, they were water baptized and they were obedient to be water baptized. I'm going to give you all eight of these real quickly, all right? We're not going to go to all eight in person and look at all the verses. I'm going to give you the scriptural reference. So if you want to take pictures, you want to write notes down, you want to go back and look at this later. I'm not making this stuff up. Eight different points in Scripture where people believed in Jesus and they were water baptized. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. We see this over and over. The first one, many of us are familiar with this. It's the 3,000 who responded to Peter's message. On the day of Pentecost, on the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter got up, preached his first really dynamic sermon. 3,000 people got saved, and they also got water baptized that same day. Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, baptizo, in water. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Wow. Talk about a baptism service. That's a good one to kick off on, you know what I'm saying? Wow. Second one, the Samaritan believers who believed after Philip preached them. We see that in Acts chapter 8, 5 through 13. Specifically in verse 12, I have that for the screen. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They were water baptized, both men and women. This is for men and women, for everybody. Then a lot of us are familiar with this next one, the Ethiopian eunuch by Philip. And that's in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 38, right? We remember the chariot was stopped. I don't understand this. He came and explained the scriptures. And then the dude's like, why can't I be baptized? They found water right away, stopped the chariot, and literally got down and water baptized this guy. He wasn't planned. He didn't call grandma to make sure she was there to see it. Like for real, he was like, I believe in Jesus, and we're doing this, all right? This is so important to me, right? The believers, Saul believes. Remember Saul? It's Paul who used to be Saul. Saul on the road to Damascus. Lord, is that you? He's blinded. The Lord sends Ananias to him, and he's baptized by Ananias. Immediately believed, and right shortly after that, he got water baptized. We see the believers at Cornelius' house. They hear the word. They respond to the word. They get saved, baptized in the body, and then they also get water baptized, and they get filled with the Spirit later, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Lydia and her household, Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Again, believed and were water baptized. We see the Philippian jailer and his household. A pretty incredible thing. He goes home. He thinks he should die. Paul and them are like, no, don't worry about it. And they get the whole family and they believe in Jesus and they get water baptized immediately. And then we have a scriptural precedence of a guy named Crispus. He was kind of crispy, sorry. His household and many other Corinthians in Acts 18, 8, all right? You guys like that one, huh? Crispy? Yeah, that's not in my notes, sorry. I'll be here all day, all right? So, all morning, so. All of these examples, they believed, and say it with me, they were baptized. They believed in Jesus, and they were baptized. They believed in Jesus and played it cool. They believed in Jesus and rode the fence the rest of their life. They believed in Jesus and said, I don't want anybody to know, but I am a closet Christian. No, they believed, and they went public. I didn't say it. The Word of God said it, amen? I'm just reiterating the message today, amen? So what about the logistics? So many people, we don't have time to, oh my gosh, holy cow. We got to get going. Sorry, I just looked at the clock. Sorry, don't ever do that. Don't ever look at the clock. Don't ever, just stay dialed in, all right? All right, we can do this, all right? What about all the logistics, right? There's so much, like, is there a right and wrong way to do it? And what happens about all this and all that stuff? I'm going to address a few things real quick because I know some of you guys are hungry for these questions. The first one I want to address is infants and babies, all right? Can we just go there for a second? Notice, and the whole time that we've talked and all the scriptures we've went to, we do not have any scriptural precedent for baptizing infants and babies in this way and believing Jesus, okay? Now, if you were baptized as a baby, I was baptized as a baby. I grew up Catholic. A lot of more of the traditional ones, they baptize you because they think it's a baptism of grace and what happens if you die and all this stuff. There's the age accountability we see in the Bible. That's another question, another day for another You Asked For It series. And so all we see in Scripture precedently is when you believe in Jesus, you have conscious belief for yourself, then you get water baptized. Nowhere in Scripture, I looked really hard this week, do you find parents bringing their kids to be water baptized on the basis of the parent's faith, but not the child's faith. Now, you can see a lot of other things. There was, be it unto your faith, mom or dad, and the child got healed. There was healings and all that stuff, and that's different, but a lot of times it gets lumped all in there. That's why we can baptize babies. We just don't believe in it. This is no disrespect. This is no dishonor to your family or that church or that denomination. I'm just saying, scripturally, I do not see any precedent for it. That's why here at Alive, we do not baptize infants or babies. We do child or children dedications. We see scriptural precedent for that, where you bring your child to the house of the Lord and you dedicate them to the Lord. And when that child is of age to understand the gospel, to receive Jesus themselves, we celebrate water baptisms. So if you go to our website and try to baptize your child, we have a recommendation. Again, it's a recommendation about age 8, about first, second, third grade. We've seen traditionally, we've been in ministry for a while, where the kids have been at church enough, they've heard enough. You know, the kids are cute. You know, in elementary and preschool, every altar call, they raise their hand. They get saved every Sunday. It's so cute. They don't understand they don't only have to do that once. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so by that time, they find, oh, I don't have to keep raising my hand, and I already believe in Jesus, so I want to go public with my faith. They understand what they're doing. Mom isn't forcing them. All of our kids, we never pressured them once. They came to us and said, I want to be water baptized. I see it in Scripture. I want to do that. And we said, okay. And some of them, they wanted to do that when they were really young. We said, let's just wait for a second, all right? And let's get to that point until we really know. And you can explain to my face confidently that you know what Jesus did for you, you know why you're saved, you know what Jesus wants us to do in water baptism. So again, that's the whole experience there. Because I grew up Catholic, I was baptized. No disrespect to my upbringing. That's just what they knew to do. That's just what I was raised in. But when I got of age, when I got saved at 19, I realized that, man, I now believe in Jesus. When I got baptized as a baby, it was not my personal decision. At 9 months, 2 months, I have no mental capacity to understand that Jesus went to a cross, died for me, rose again, and that I'm saved in him. The parents get that, and they really want that for their kid. But how many of you guys know, when we go and stand before Jesus, we will not be granted into heaven based on our parents' faith. It'd be on our faith, right? So again, that's the why behind the what. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody or make anybody uncomfortable. I'm just saying that's what we've been taught, and that's what we see through Scripture, right? So if you're baptized as a baby, and a baby only, but since then you've really had an awakening to Jesus, or you've been born again, or you've been born and baptized in the body of Christ, we would say you can be baptized again, and you're not going to violate any other baptism or cancel out your salvation or do something weird or be put in some weird spiritual place. Like, if you believe in Jesus, you can be water baptized. And we see a lot of adults take that decision. Hey, I was baptized as a baby. I'm being baptized as an adult, because we believe water baptism is an adult decision. Does that make sense? And again, we're not trying to condemn there. Some people get all hung up, what do you say when you water baptize them? Like there are certain people that not only believe that you have to be baptized to go to heaven, but you have to be baptized, and the person that baptizing you has to say a specific thing, otherwise it's not legit. Not making this up. Go with me. Like, you're in the tank, you're underneath, and some guy saying something or some woman saying something, but you can't hear what they're saying, and then you come up, you're like, woo, and everybody celebrates, and then like one day you die, you go before Jesus, you're like, I'm so excited to be in heaven. He's like, bro, they did it wrong. You're out. Like, I don't think God's going to work that way. And we can laugh about that, but there's whole denominations and doctrine like, no, you're not doing it right. It's like, oh, bro. Our God's a loving God. Like, come on in here, man. You went public with your faith, right? I'm going to hold you against it by the dude who dunked you, the woman who dunked you. Like, I don't know. I just think that's funny. Like, so there's a whole body of believers, just for time's sake, that let's say you have to say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which we saw in Matthew 28. There's a whole other group of believers that say, no. You have to say you're baptized in Jesus' name. Because if you don't do it there, it's not legit. And so a lot of people are like, well, how do you guys do it at Alive? And I laugh and I say, we because of your profession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So even if there is a legalistic requirement, we got both of you covered. You're in. You're in. At Alive, you're in. All right? Just sorry, that's funny, but not really. All right? So we just cover all the bases. In case that 0.9999% that, yeah, you got to say the right way. We got you covered. Amen. Is there anything special about the water? Nope. Ours is from a garden hose. I'm sorry. I'm not been trying to be disrespectful. There's no like backlit, illuminated. It's not holy. It hasn't been prayed over for 5 days. I mean, it's just like we put some chlorine in there, make it smell good. And those of you guys that got baptized and Alive in the early days, it looked like Mountain Dew. Because our hard water was reacting with the elements in our aluminum tank, and it made it look like a swamp. So I apologize for you guys. We figured some things out. I've gotten better at chemistry. We're on our way. We're going to make it, all right? But we do believe in fully submerging as well. Because, again, baptizo is immersion, right? It's submersion. And there's no disrespect here. That's why we put everybody fully under. Right, we don't just sprinkle you with water, head dap you there. We get you wet. Jesus fully died for us. He fully rose. Amen. And so again, if you've been baptized or whatever in different ways, God honors your heart. I remember my brother got baptized in jail. I think it was in a sink. My brother at that IA stage and size of his life did not fit in a full sink or a toilet or whatever. Yeah, there was water there. God honors that symbolism, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, he sees the heart, all right? So he ain't go, oh, you didn't go, you know what I'm saying? Again, the key here, guys, not legalism. Not legalism. We can get so caught up in the do's and don'ts, right? This is all about an invitation for a more intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what it all comes down to. And a commitment of faith, just like we'd commit to a spouse saying, you for life, forever, I mean it, I'm serious. We can do the same thing to Jesus through water baptism. And some of the biggest hindrances I see are the ones that we're singing about, the tear down my religion and my tradition. It's, I was raised in this. Great-grandma got baptized in the Catholic Church or Lutheran Church. This is just how our family has done it. And so I don't, and I get that. Some of us, like, we just don't want to disrespect our family patriarchs by getting rebaptized again. Why do you need to get baptized again? You already got baptized. I already have your certificate at home in a box collecting dust. And it's like, we have to have understanding that, hey, I understand that, but like, who do I live to please, man or God? And if I've never been water baptized as an adult with a conscious decision that I believe in Jesus, then there's room at the table to do that without disrespecting the Lord. And you, I believe you can have a great sit-down conversation with these people and honor that and not create that awkwardness. And at the end of the day, we go before the Lord by ourselves. Amen? I love that grandparents and parents had a heart to make sure their babies were saved or in the family of God or all that stuff. And sometimes at these different denominations, they're not baptizing them in salvation. They're baptizing them in the body of the church or into membership or all that stuff. So that everybody does things a little differently. So you can't just throw it all out with the bathwater, no pun intended, right? You have to make sure you're understanding what's going on here. A lot of times I see a hesitancy towards water baptism is because of fear of commitment. We live in a generation that just doesn't like to commit. We want to live together, play house, play married, not put a ring on it, not commit, not have a celebration. I mean, that's a rampant, right? We want to do that because commitment's hard. Commitment costs. Commitment's a sacrifice, right? And Jesus is like, man, I gave my life for you, and I just want you to be obedient to this, right? Or you want to keep your options open. You want to know the worst life to live is the half-life as a Christian. How many? I won't tell you. How many of you have? No. I have lived this life in different seasons of my life, the half-life, where half foot in, half foot out. I know all the right things to say. I know how to look on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, holy cow, like that dude ain't saved, right? That'll eat away at your soul. Jesus wants us all in. He says, lukewarm, I spit you out. I want you hot or I want you cold, right? And so being hot means, hey, I'm in. I'm in on what Jesus is in on. And he says, hey, let's be water baptized, right? The social context hindrance, I see that all the time. I don't want to get wet in church. I just got this $200 hair did, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want it to, I ain't doing that, all right? The makeup, I ain't doing that. I don't want to get wet in front of strangers, right? I don't want to be labeled a Jesus freak. I don't want my friends at work or people on social media might get a glimpse of it. I don't want them to see that I'm in on this. I understand that to an extent, but man, we're singing, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. So those are some strong words, right? It's like, man, we can't be afraid of man's opinion. And then honestly, I think some of you might be like, I just didn't know that this was like a big deal to Jesus. Like, I just didn't have good, solid biblical teaching on it ever. I just saw these religious rituals, and I never connected with it because I didn't know the meaning behind it, and I didn't know it was something I should probably do if I believe in Jesus. And so, man, there's grace. There's grace. Jesus isn't holding his finger over and say, why haven't you been baptized yet? He's just asking you today, have you been water baptized? Right? And so what's our action step? Hopefully you guys are clearly seeing through Scripture that, my goodness, there is scriptural precedent of believing in Jesus and then being water baptized. God desires for us to do this, and it's a really powerful moment. It's a marked moment in your faith. And so what is some of your action steps? I just want to commend you and challenge you. If you are here today and you've never been water baptized as an adult, I would invite you be obedient to that and go to the waters of water baptism by faith in Jesus. Amen? And the cool thing is we do this every fourth Sunday of the month. So it just actually so happens that next Sunday is going to be the next time we're pulling out our tank if people want to do that. And so literally, you don't have to wait months to do this. If God's working on your heart, you're like, man, I have never done that before, and I'd love to do that in the context of community. My goodness, we would love to have you explore that option of your faith. And you can sign up online to do that. There's actually a physical sign-up sheet at our welcome table, at the table out there as you leave today, if that's something, or you're like, I'm about 75% sure, but you want to put down your contact information so we can give you more info. I'll be up here after service if you want to talk more about water baptism or your scenario, or your situation. But I encourage you, man, don't wait on this. Go public with your faith in Jesus, amen? And know that you're honoring God when you do that. You all doing good? All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. I know I told you I'd give you three baptisms, so I'm going to give you the third one really quick, all right? We majored mostly on water because I think that's where we need some correction there. But this third one is awesome, and it's powerful too. And the third baptism that we see we can experience is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. And this baptism is also separate from salvation, which means you don't have to experience this one to be saved or to be a Christian, all right? Salvation deals with your eternal existence. The baptism of the Holy Spirit deals with your natural earthly existence. It's how you live the spirit-empowered life while you're here on earth. Jesus talked about this in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven. He said, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Separate experience. Why would we want to do this? Jesus talks about the whole gist of it. If you go down to verse 8 of Acts 1, he says, but you, anybody who receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we can be a better witness, a more powerful witness for Jesus when we're baptized or immersed in his Holy Spirit. I love what John the Baptist said about it in Matthew 3:11. He's talking to people and he's saying, hey, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he starts talking about Jesus who's coming after him. He says, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Wow. What's that all about? The Holy Spirit and fire. Water, separate. Here's what I know. Water and fire are different. They're different. And they're different experiences. Some denominations say that if you aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't have a heavenly prayer language, then you're not even going to heaven. That's false. So the other dangerous ditch that I think a lot of people hang out in is there is no such thing is of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you get everything you get at salvation and that's it, because in Scripture we see something separate here. And for time's sake, I can't go into this. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger today. But here's what I do know. We teach on this in depth in our Grip Basics 101 class. We specifically do it there because you need time to digest, study the Scriptures for yourself, have an opportunity to receive it, all of that kind of stuff. And it cannot be a rushed thing. And so if you've never taken our Basics 101 class, we actually have our summer class coming up here really shortly in another few weeks. You grab a workbook and you sign up in the lobby or online, you grab the workbook, and we take two of the chapters in that book are dedicated specifically to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we see God work and do amazing things in each of these classes. So if you've never taken that, or you have taken it, but you're still not down with this baptism, hey, there's no pressure on this baptism. You don't have to believe in this baptism to attend a Live Family Church. I'm just saying, scripturally, we see three different baptisms all throughout the Bible. Baptism in the body of Christ, or the body of the Lord. We see water baptism, and we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we end today, I was going to show another scripture, guys, but we're just going to pass on that for right now. To end today in our You Asked For It week 3, I got one question for you guys. One question for you guys. And it's this. What baptism or baptisms are you being led to partake in? Which one is like the biggest invitation or well-lit road for you to maybe dive a little bit deeper in? Maybe you've been partaking all three, but God wants you to just really dive into one. One, maybe you've done one of these, or you're a believer, you're a Christian, you've been for years, but you've never been water baptized. Maybe you want to be water baptized next week, and that's your action step. Maybe you've been water baptized, but man, you're feeling like there's more. You want some fresh fire in your relationship with the Lord. You want to be a more faithful witness for Jesus. Then maybe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something you need to explore, study out, and walk with. And we'd love to come alongside you and help you in that area. Again, there's no pressure whatsoever to do anything, but simply ask the question, Lord, what are you calling me to do? And what does that look like? And just be obedient to it, and the Lord will be pleased, and you'll be blessed. And so, man, for some of you guys, maybe it's that baptism in the body of Christ. Maybe today's your day of salvation. Maybe you've believed in God or believed in the thought of God, but you've never prayed a prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Man, you can experience the most important baptism of all, salvation today. And we're going to pray in just a second here. For some of you, like I mentioned, it's water baptism. It's time to go all in. It's time to go public. It's time to be unashamed about your faith in Jesus and let yourself and everyone around you know, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Amen? And maybe for some of you, it's like, hey, I want that fresh fire, and I've been a believer for a while, but maybe your relationship with the Lord is getting a little stagnant and you need some fresh flame, some fresh fire on that. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, we delve more into this in that class, and on First Sunday Night of Prayer and Worship is where we really minister a lot in this area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you've never been to one of those, you're exposed a little bit more of that as well on those nights as well if you're curious. And so wherever you find yourself today, I believe there's a step of intimacy. Amen? And God loves us so much that he doesn't hold legalism and do's and don'ts over us. He's all about relationship. Amen? And so as we do what the word says in these areas of baptism, I know we'll be blessed. I know you'll be blessed. and the Lord will be glorified and honored. Would you pray as I close out in prayer today? Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we just thank you for our time together. Man, there's so much more we could have talked about, could have shared, but Lord, we're going to be honoring of your time here, and Lord, we thank you that you are pursuing us daily. You don't want religion. You don't want do's and don'ts. You don't want hoops to jump through to get to salvation and relationship with you. You just want our hearts. And so, Father, we just come to you in total transparency and honesty today, and we give you our full heart. And Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you're leading and guiding each and every one of us here. And if maybe you're tuning in online, you want to come in and next week and get water baptized or experience some of these baptisms, you can do that as well. But Father, I thank you, Lord, for obedience. I thank you, Lord, that we're unashamed of you, of the gospel, of what you've done in our life. And Lord God, we want to have a public display of our affection and of our commitment to you, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that you'd help take down any barriers, any hindrances, any roadblocks to any of these baptisms for your people today. That, Lord Jesus, you would be glorified and honored in our lives every single day. And today we take a step of obedience and faith and move forward in whatever way that looks like, Father. And so we love you, we praise you, we thank you for it all, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Everybody agreed, said, amen. So be it.